Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's very, very apt that the Lord just touches people. And I'm not afraid of that. Some people, it's so funny, I've been in meetings where the Holy Ghost started to teach people, touch people, and you see the preacher as if he's going, how rude. How dare the Holy Spirit interrupt my sermon? You know, they get this picture. I just laugh. I mean, worship, the thing I love about worship is that's the time where we actually minister to the Lord. As much as I love preaching, I've never been arrogant enough to think that the Lord's up there with a notepad going, okay, I wonder what I'm going to learn from Pete today. Because if I am saying something that he hasn't taught, it's wrong. I really wanted to share something today. Tonight, we're just going to have a meeting of just basically coming into the presence of the Lord and letting him do everything. What's going to happen tonight? I have no idea. I love that. I get, my wife looks at, oh dear. My beautiful wife is the one that's organized. People have said since we got married, wow, you're looking good. It's like, it's all her. I don't think there's one thing on this body that my dear wife didn't get for me. And if I saw it, for those of you who haven't, this is my beautiful wife, Christy. So there's a, for anybody who knew BC before Christy, if I flashed a picture up on the screen, like some, because you're all gracious, loving Christian people, you would have accepted it. But if I flashed a picture up now, you go, oh my gosh. Cleaned me up real good. But she's the one that gets me organized. Praise the Lord. But I want to share this morning, you know, I'm just going to be a bit, pretty transparent that I've really been challenged by a few things myself lately. Who knows? This faith stuff is really easy when everything's going right. Has anyone ever said that? Oh, pray, it's just, you know, and the offering bucket is just so easy that, when your bank balance is full. And praising God is just so amazingly simple when everything you wanted to happen happens. Isn't it amazing? But who knows? That's not what always happens. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I know that you pray the same stuff as me. And you know, I've just been challenged by a couple of things because, you know what, if we wait for everything to line up, and there are people, I know I've got friends, I've seen them that started off in music ministry like me that were just the kid that was, you know, playing the guitar in church and, you know, was more fumbling than knowing what they're doing but had a dream to do something great for God. And some of these people had more talent than I'll ever have and this incredible gifting, but they were just waiting for everything to line up and be perfect to do something for God. Guess what? 20-something years later, they're still waiting. They're still waiting for all their ducks to line up in a row. If that was the case, the Apostle Paul would have never gone and done anything. Because I honestly can't find anywhere in Scripture where he even had a short period where it didn't look like he was facing persecution. Now, don't panic because you think, gosh, Pete's normally so uplifting. I'm not preaching a suffering sermon here. Trust me, because I've learned to be joyful no matter what we face. Do you know, if you wait for everything to be perfect and you need everything to be perfect, you've actually shown the devil how to shut you down. Because all you need is for then a few things to go a little haywire and boom, we're shut down. But there's something powerful when God's people realize that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. His gifts are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. So whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, God is with me. And his anointing is as strong and his word is as powerful as the day he spoke it. And we need to sometimes just be a little real and remind ourselves, you know what? There are struggles we're going to face. There are obstacles. There are going to be days that are harder than others. But our God doesn't change. The Apostle Paul faces, so I used to be, when I started, you know, bless the Lord, I'm a word of faith minister, so therefore that's all we can do. And my wife and I have just gone through a season where we've been doing quite a lot of secular work, just being honest. Why? Because we needed the money. Don't look at me. Just because you're a minister, an angel does not knock on your door with a bag of money every morning. You know, the tax man doesn't say, no, don't worry about it. Your cover's okay. And so, yeah, we'd been working, we'd bought a house, we got married, and we were renting this little place with five kids all sitting on top of one another, and so we needed a bigger place, and praise the Lord, we found this house, but it needed a lot of work. And, you know, we needed to get some money. Sometimes we go to a place and they give us a love offering, and if that's the love offering, they hate me. Just being honest. Can we be honest? As Cole Stringer says, you know, go, you can't say that from behind the pulpit. I'm not behind the pulpit. It's okay. But just be real. So my wife and I, we had to just do some work. She's got her own business, works, has a very successful bookkeeping business. My profession is as a pharmacist. So we're ministering, but we were working a lot too. And I found myself working in a very, very, very busy pharmacy. Very stressful, very low staffed. And my wife came in one night to give me some dinner because I was doing night shifts. And she saw me in the dispensary. And it was like the countenance on my face didn't exactly express the glory and the goodness of God. And she said, I can't lip read, but I don't think what you were muttering under your breath is in the Bible. And it challenged me because it was like, okay, am I going to be a person that expresses how great our God is and be a witness for his glory when I'm comfortable? Or is God still going to be real in my life when I'm facing challenge? And I'll be honest, it was a challenge. This was a place where I was running, like working hard, and often it was understaffed and there were long hours, and then we'd have to go and minister on the weekend. You know, raise your hands, you bunch of... I mean, praise the Lord, let's lift our hands. And let's be real. And so I began to look and think, wow, you know, maybe I need to realize that that's the time I need to lean on the Lord even the most. Now, I'm not preaching a condemnation message. You've got to realize, and everything has to be founded on the fact that we are loved and accepted and the righteousness of God, no matter where we are and no matter what we're facing. That is the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word soteria, which means wholeness, healing, salvation, fullness. That if we, I believe the body of Christ has lost the understanding that there is restoring truth, that God brings things back to the body of Christ. We saw the great charismatic renewal where, you know, 50 years ago, hardly anyone spoke in tongues. But it was a truth in the Word of God. I had some clown, I saw some clown ministering once, and he said, this mustn't be really God because, you know, it was only sort of showed up in the last few years. It was like God's restored things to the body of Christ. And we saw God restore healing, where all of a sudden there was a spotlight on healing and God restored things. And then there was, you know, thank God for the word of faith and the prosperity message and understanding God's provision and God's goodness. But all of this has to be built on our foundation of what Jesus accomplished at the cross. We want to camp on our pet doctrine and make that the gospel. And then we turn these wonderful truths of the word into a dead work. Thank you for your deafening amen on that point. But it's true, we can turn anything to a law. It's so funny. I laughed once. I was at an honor convention and I've never been more dishonored as a minister in my whole entire life. I thought it was hilarious. It's like, yes, we're preaching on honor. And I was a guest minister and I've never been more dishonored in my whole life. That's crazy. It's true. I've seen people, we preach grace and they criticize every single person they meet. And I'm like, isn't grace gracious? Because our foundation must always be on the fact that he who had no sin became sin so that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. That he clothed us in his righteousness. That he gave us access to come boldly to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and to find grace to help in our time of need. That he gave us the gift of no condemnation. So please, the things that I might, if I feel like I'm prodding you in an area this morning, we must never take that to affect our position in Christ. But understand, this is who we really are. And I began to look into these things and feel challenged. And I'm preaching to myself this morning not to feel condemned and go, no, I'm not a person that is affected by the atmosphere around me. I'm a person that can carry the atmosphere of God into a situation and change that. Christy used to say to me, I used to notice it. I'd walk in the house and go, why are the children hiding under the furniture? It's like, because you look scary. I'd walk in the door. After a day, close the door, the whole house would shake. How was your day, honey? I'm just being real. And so I'd walk out of the house, and who knows, when you sort of know you're not really aligning with the way you should be, you hate it when someone tells you the truth. We have an altar call for liars here, you know the truth. And so I'd walk out, I'd have to go to do my shift just knowing it was going to be a really tough day. And I'd be walking and Christy would go, you know, you're anointed and you'll carry the atmosphere of heaven with you. And I'm like, shut up, woman. You know, I'm walking out. I don't want to hear that. Yeah, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. I'm like, oh, darn it. But it's true. And so I just challenge you this morning to realize that the Lord didn't give us his anointing and his word and his grace and his presence just for when things are going well. And I've just been challenged that in the crazy busyness of our seasons of life sometimes, that's where we can see God move the strongest. It's so sad. We've developed a culture where everybody is so super sensitive. And I see it in the body of Christ. We can't offend anybody. So even you go to some churches and the preaching is so dumbed down because we don't want to offend anybody. And the worship's got to be a certain way because we don't want to offend anybody. And some of them can't even talk about the offering because we don't want to offend anybody. And we're raising a culture where people have no control over their emotions. They just don't realize that, you know what, sometimes in life you're going to be in situations where you feel uncomfortable. But because we know Jesus, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, because we are partakers of the covenant of promise, that we can bring that into these uncomfortable situations, change the way we're feeling, change the way it affects us, and even, praise God, then change that situation. It's amazing that even the world is starting to see this. I don't know, some of you that are on social media may have seen John Cleese do this thing where he said, we've got so sensitive and so unable to control our emotions and so just unwilling to put ourselves in any situation where we feel uncomfortable that we feel the need to control everybody else's behavior so that we don't feel uncomfortable. And I thought, man, this is coming from a guy who doesn't even know Jesus. And I see that in the church. It's like control is growing because it's like, I can't be uncomfortable. I can't be placed in a situation where it's not comfortable for me. And so we then try and control. You get people, it's like, well, the church worship has to be exactly the way I like it. or I'm going to leave. Do you realize that more than ever, people are changing jobs? And again, this is a non-condemnation. Everything I say, there is no condemnation for you that are in Jesus. Okay, now you're, because you might be here, oh my gosh, I just changed jobs. It's not me condemning you. But it's like you see a situation where a person, they can't stay in a job for too long because they, all of a sudden they feel a little bit uncomfortable. They feel a little bit of pressure. I can't stand this, I'm leaving. Or you get it, or relationships, they can't, you know, as soon as there's a little bit of conflict. I remember once Joseph Prince talking about saying, listen, he was so transparent about, sometimes he said, my wife and I will fight on the way to church. And he said, he talked about that and was open. He said, don't ever think that if you ever face a conflict in your marriage that there's something wrong with you. I mean, in the early days of the Word of Faith, I mean, you used to see these preachers and you thought, my gosh, nothing ever goes wrong for these guys. As soon as they get a symptom, they confess once, bang, it's gone. As soon as there's a need, they sow a little bit of money, bang, the money's there. You know, and their wives just absolutely, yes and amen, everything you say is perfect. I'm still believing for that. No, that's okay. We can dream. We can dream. We can dream. You know, my wife would call it delusion. I call it a dream. And so he even said that, you know, he had these leaders that were a bit like that. Well, praise God, we never ever fight. We never ever have a disagreement. We never ever have conflict. And they had one little argument one day and she left. She had to go and stay at Mum's because she just couldn't handle the fact that we'd had an argument. Now, I'm not preaching. Oh, my goodness, that just means that the Lord can bring peace into a relationship. I'm not talking about there's just constant fighting and there's constant strife. And the Lord, our part of our covenant is He will bring blessing and favor and love and harmony into relationships. And some of the greatest marriage ministers on the planet today were in horrific situations where they brought the presence of God into that situation and brought about change. But I'm just saying that some of us, it's if we're honest, we nearly feel like nothing can happen until this is all fixed. That we can't move forward until this situation changes. There's nothing I can do. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I see people in churches. If you're waiting for the perfect church, the day you join it, it's not perfect anymore. There's no such thing. You're never going to find a church where every single thing lines up with exactly the way you want it. And if you need that, I challenge you to think that maybe you need to have a look, that there's some issues of control that need to be maybe dealt with in the Lord. Now, again, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to be condemning. But I saw that in my own life. Where it's like, well, bless God, I want things like this. I want things like that. I want things like this. Why isn't things like that? But I just want to show you a few things. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Did someone just have a go at my Aussie accent? How rude. That's all right. We were in John's car last night and he had his GPS on and I didn't know. It had a Kiwi mode. This is not a joke. This is fair dinkum. This is what happened. And so he's got his Kiwi mode on and we pull up where we're supposed to go and it goes, you're at your destination, get your jandals and your chili bin and have a good day. Dinner, John. I thought it was amazing. I thought that was great. Okay. That went over well. Yeah, but probably be funny. Just translate it into Hebrew. It sounds noble. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus got in and made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled. It is a ghost. They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. I love that. Immediately, in the middle of the storm, Jesus is trying to say, hey, it's okay, it's me. Don't be afraid. And so Peter goes to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out of the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Notice something. Jesus called him to walk out. The storm hadn't stopped yet. The storm's still raging. And Jesus says, come on. And I saw that in my own life. You know, sometimes it's like, okay, I'll just put this, I'll get this happening, and I'll get this happening, and we'll fix this, and we'll fix that, and we'll line up. And then God, then you got me all. But in that middle of the storm, he's saying, hey, I'm here with you. Come. Step out. And the amazing thing was, okay, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, he started to panic, he started to sink. Now, the funny thing was, he's already on the water. What the heck is the wind going to make any difference? I got up this morning to pray. It was still dark. Walked down, because we're staying in the city, walked down to the wharf, perfectly calm, not a breath of wind, just like glass. I did not for one second think, oh, there's no wind. I might go for a walk on the water. The wind and the waves meant nothing. He was still in the middle of a miracle. But that's okay. Even in the midst of that, he takes his eye off the ball. He starts to sink. Jesus still pulls him out. They get into the boat. Then the storm stops. Some of you, the key to your breakthrough, the key to the storm stopping is for you to start stepping out in the midst of the storm. Some of you, like Pastor Pam had a word this morning about someone in the offering. You might be in deep financial doo-doo. If you're waiting for your ship to come in to start giving, you're going to be waiting a very long time. That I know in our own life, the times where the Lord's asked us to sow has actually usually been the tight times. And that's though when we see the breakthrough. The times when we sometimes feel the leading of the Lord to serve and step up in an area and really put our hand to the plow is the time where we're actually a bit time poor. Now, again, I'm not preaching a suffering doctrine. I'm saying we have been too conditioned to be affected by the atmosphere around us. We are called as people of God to be people that influence the atmosphere, not the other way around. Do you realize you're not as sensitive as you think you are? You might have feelings that have been hurt. Guess what? Welcome to the human race. I'm not belittling you because I know some people are treated absolutely atrociously, and I'm not trying to belittle you. Please don't think that I am. But I don't believe anybody achieves anything in this life without taking a few blows. But you are stronger than you think you are. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are called by God. You are anointed by God. You might say, I'm not a preacher. The Bible says that when he went up, it says he gave gifts to all men. You have been given gifts and anointings and grace just because you are in Christ and in Jesus. And those things are not affected. Jesus did not say, well, that's long as everything's going fine. I'll just even give you a little bit of a testimony that for my own life, that I was a single dad, as many of you know, for many years, raising three kids by myself with a call to ministry. Now, I could have said, all right, God, bring along the right woman, someone that can be a partner to me, a mother to my children, fix that all up, and then we'll go. But do you know where I met this wonderful woman? Ministering in a church. If I hadn't have stepped out in that storm, I would never have got this blessing. So some of you, I just feel like this morning is just an encouragement to think that, you know, some of us think there's something wrong with me because, you know, all of this stuff's going on and until I get this happening, I just really can't sort of go forward in the things of God. Well, This is one of my favorite scriptures. I've written music to it. I put this scripture to music. It has helped me through so many times. Philippians 4. Turn to that. It's like seriously one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Philippians 4, starting in chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Paul wrote this in prison. And trust me, prisons were not these lovely little country clubs that sometimes you see, like minimum release things where they have their nice big TV and things. This was a prison. Some scholars believe there were dungeons inside dungeons. Horrific places. And he writes this amazing, amazing scripture. And he talks about a peace that surpasses understanding. What's that? That means that it's absolutely independent of the situation that you're going through right now. Then in the midst of an absolute, because I don't, in preaching this, don't want to belittle what you're facing. Some people face things that I can't even wrap my mind around. But what I know is that when you focus on and understand how good your God is and how much His grace is towards you and how much His love and His is towards you, that there is a supernatural peace that is beyond anything that the devil can stop. I'm serious, we look and wait for everything to line up. It's never going to happen that way. But when we align ourselves and make a decision, no matter what faces my life, I'm going to walk in the peace and the presence of Almighty God. It's amazing. Everything else starts to change. My pastor, I don't know if I can say this, but anyway, my wife and I were talking because I like boxing. Oh, everybody's looking. So, in the name of Jesus, come out. You know, the most dangerous boxer was not necessarily the one that just couldn't be touched by anyone. The man who has the most envious record in boxing was Rocky Marciano. He had 50 fights unbeaten. The only ever undefeated heavyweight when he retired. He was not the most talented boxer. But if you knocked him down, he got straight back up. You knock him down again, he got straight back up. And some of his greatest victories were like the other guy was all over him. But the more he was knocked down, the more he got up. The more he was knocked down, the more he got up. And I tell you what, that puts fear into an opponent. When you think, my goodness, what have I got to do to beat this guy? And so we become, when we're just so sensitive and so everything's got to be right. But if we're a person that just, no matter what, I'm going to praise my God. I'm going to be faithful to my God. No matter what my finances say, I'm going to be a giver. No matter how time poor I am, how busy, I'm going to faithfully serve the Lord and bless His house. Tell you what, you're a person that the devil just doesn't want to have a piece of. It's so true. Do you know how sometimes I began to see this? That sometimes we know how big a revelation is in our life when there is a little bit of pressure put on. I see people, you know, you'll hear a sermon on prosperity and bless God. They're out singing Jehovah Jireh, my provider. They walk into the car park, they got a flat tire. Next minute they're singing, "You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille." It's like, that's the times we need to really look in. You know, I love, if we read on even from what I just read, there's finally, brethren, in verse 8, says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We constantly need to be reminding ourselves how good our God is. That's why how praise and worship is so powerful. you know, I will not sing a worship song that goes, life sucks and then you die. Praise Jesus. Yeah, now, you guys think that's being me being silly, but there's stuff out there like that, isn't there? I've seen some worship music that's just downright depressing. It's like, I was actually doing quite well till that guy sung that song. You know, thank God we sing songs about how good our... That doesn't mean we can't be transparent and honest. Like, David was sometimes like that, but he always finished... You know, it'd be like, oh, I feel so distressed, I feel so alone, but my God, you're with me. He wasn't lying that the situations were there, and faith is not ignoring the circumstances. You know, some people get that wrong. That would have been like, you know, some people... If I was to give a Old Testament... Bible story version of what some people think faith is, that the Israelites would have got to Jericho and gone, there is no wall. There is no wall. Let's just walk through. There is no wall. No, they recognized that there was a wall, but they recognized that their God was far more powerful than any wall that was ever before them. That the promise of God was bigger than any obstacle, and that when they were walking with the Lord and standing in his promise, every obstacle had to get out of the way. I'm just sharing some things that I've been faced with. You know, we have a covenant with peace. We have a covenant of peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. In every situation we face, God wants us to be walking in his peace and in his presence. When I just made that little bit of a switch and gone, you know what? Okay, today... I'm going to be real. It's a tough day. But thank you, God, that you are with me. I thank you, Father, that I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And no matter what faces me today, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift my... And I even started working. I'd be at work and I'd be singing under my breath like, praise you, Jesus. And everybody's like looking at me. I'm not saying you've got to do that. But I just made a decision that I was not going to let... the situation affect me. That in that situation, God was with me and I was going to let God shine through that situation. And I found things just began to change. Things began to change. You know, it's so vital. I'm going to read this from the Amplified, if you've got an Amplified. And I know I've read this scripture in this church before, but Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 16 says, and let peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you with all richness. As you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight, intelligence and wisdom, in spiritual things, as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. It's saying we're led from the Lord in that place of peace. Now, it doesn't say that everything around us has to be peaceful. The Psalms were written in a time of war. So I find that in the midst of the storm, when everything seems to be going the total opposite of the way that I want it to go, when the circumstances are not lining up with my covenants of promise, that I begin to just quiet myself in the Lord. And I love that the next step on, because we cut scripture up, like we give little sections that we sometimes need to read a little bit before and a little bit after. So he's talking about it's really important that you have peace, that peace, that ability to walk is what's going to lead you and guide you. Like my wife knows that I'm very, some she would say slow, but sometimes right, to make a decision if it's a big decision, because I wait to get the peace of God on it. Even if it looks great. Even if it looks like a great idea, that I feel a peace in my spirit, that doesn't mean everything around me has to be peaceful. But it then leads on to say, how do we get into that area of peace? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That is because as we worship him and as we focus on him, it's like He becomes the major reality in our life, not the circumstance around us. Because he's the one that doesn't change. Everything you're facing is subject to change. Every situation that you're facing can change in a moment. But God's promise and his goodness and his mercy and his grace will never change. That's why worship is so vitally important to every believer. Not just the musical, not just the singers, not people that like worship. We were designed to worship him. It is in our DNA. It is in our makeup from every level. Even as a cellular and molecular level, science is finding something happens. When we speak in tongues, chemicals are released in our body. Seriously. They've even found, they did studies and they found that the cells, there are natural cells in the body that fight cancer cells and they call rogue cells and things that are more potent and powerful, I mean these protective cells, when we sing in tongues. It's like God knows what he's doing. He actually put it into us, not just something because, you know, I feel like a bit of a sing-song before church on Sunday. That we're designed to be people that are in a constant flow of worship. And so I've decided, you know, I thank God that I came into a message of grace that made me understand that I was accepted by God and loved by God even when I didn't pray enough. You know, if I woke up, oh my gosh, I slept in. I didn't get time to pray this morning. God's not with me. Or, oh my gosh, I've had a busy week. I didn't read the Bible enough this week. So my faith's going to be weak. That God's with me, but I thank God now that I know from that foundation of love and acceptance in him, I enjoy his presence more. And that as I just begin to worship and you know, at the end of the service, you know, when we just began to, the Holy Spirit started to move. Oh, you know what we were thanking God for? Just thanking him for his grace, for his goodness, for what he accomplished at the cross. And it's a fun, as we focus on that, it's amazing. The presence of God can't stay away from that. The manifest presence of God. So as a people that know his goodness and know his mercy and focus on that and begin, and I just, you know, sing. My wife and I, there's always music happening in some section of our house. My wife will be in her office singing. I'll be somewhere else singing. Our son will be in his bedroom singing because our son, he's in a worship team now too, playing his guitar, singing. It's like, we need to stir that up and just be in the midst of the storm, just to thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I thank you your presence is here with me right now in the middle of this storm, God. I thank you. And you know what? When I'm seeing areas in my life that I know need to change, like when I was in that dispensary and I'm like, you know, I would answer hang up the phone from back here. Crack! That's like that. And sadly, our religious nature tends to then shy away from God. That's when I need to go, Father, thank you that you love me and you accept me. You know, it's amazing. When you study, turn to the book of Galatians. We all have to face our humanity at times. I didn't come here with a nice, eloquent sermon today. I really just felt to share some things because this is part of my journey where, you know, there's times where I've had to face areas in my life where I thought were really quite ugly. Attitudes that weren't brilliant. Don't you, everyone look at me, that you, some of your halos just need to straighten up just a little bit right now. Areas where my temper wasn't that great, where, and if we read, you know, people get so self-righteous, right? We get so self-righteous, we think, oh, God's going to bless me because I'm just walking so well before the Lord. So wonderful. But have a read of this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and idolatry, sorcery. And we're like, yes,
Horrible, horrible.
And then it says, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. There's not a person in this room who hasn't been guilty of those at one time. Then it goes on. Murders, drunkenness, revelries. And so sandwiched in between these horrific sins that we would go, yes, horrible, judgment, terrible, are things many of us face every day. Our ability to stand as self-righteous is looking shakier. You know, the Lord began to deal with me with my own life and ministry and the blessings of God that I've seen in my life. And he just said two sentences. He said, because of or in spite of? And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like the Lord was saying, did this blessing happen because of you or in spite of you? And I'll shake you to your core a little bit. Because I realize, and, you know, I'm not preaching, just do whatever you like, doesn't really matter. Yeah, go sin, do whatever. Anybody with a brain can see the effects that sin is having on the world. We see the effects of drunkenness and drugs and adultery and all the horrible stuff, that it just doesn't work. So I'm not even going to insult your intelligence by going on with that, because I know that you have enough brains to know that stuff doesn't work. But our ability to stand before God because of our own works and how good we are, it's ridiculous. Our ability to stand before the Lord is because of one thing, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished at the cross. And I find that sometimes the more, that's why it's amazing when the woman that was caught in adultery, and they were all got their stones, and under the law, she should have been stoned. And Jesus just says, he who's without sin cast the first stone. It's amazing. It says the older ones dropped them first, because if you've been on this planet a little while, you realize everybody needs grace. So therefore, my abilities when I'm facing the dark areas of my life that aren't exactly what I'm proud of, they're not the things that I give and testify before everybody. Oh, I just want to praise God. This morning I yelled at my wife, I kicked the cat, and the kids are afraid of me. That when I'm facing these areas that I know need to change, and do you know what? We know they need to change. You know, some people think, oh, I'm going to point out all your faults. It's like, it's not news to me when someone points out a fault to me. It's not the first time I'm oh, really? I never knew that. Sometimes, but we guys can be a bit slow. But it says, you know, the works of the flesh. I find the more a person tries in their own strength, I'm going to be better. Praise God. Yeah, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to give up this addiction, or I'm going to be. The more we try in ourselves, the more we pray, we're under that works of the flesh, the more other ugly stuff just seems to come out. But when I stand before the Lord, in spite of what I see in my life, and I just praise him that, God, you love me so much that if I was the only one, you would have come for me. That the Father bankrupt heaven, gave his best for me, that he clothed me in his righteousness. The Bible says if we are Christ, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, that all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. It works on towards that we can be people that walk into the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the stuff we are yearning for in our life. I believe earnest Christians aren't looking for an excuse to sin. When you love Jesus and you've tasted of the goodness of God, there's nothing the world can give you that will compare to it. Just to make the presence of God, you're like a friend of ours runs rehabs, and he said they teach the people that have been addicted sometimes for decades by these life-controlling substances and sins, that the presence of God will make you happier than you ever were drunk. That my job is not to just to make you give up something but to give you something better that will make everything that you've had in the past just pale into insignificance. And it's amazing. It talks about the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. I've never seen a tree going, must produce fruit. What do you do? It just has to be planted and watered and it'll grow. I believe you're in a church that preaches the good word of God, places you in an atmosphere of the presence of the Lord, where if you will just run to Him, regardless of what you're facing, you will grow. You will grow fruit. Sometimes the Lord has taught me to be able to sometimes look into the darkest recesses of my soul and still feel accepted and loved and run to Him, because I know that in His presence, that's what will change that area. And then the more that I realize that and the more that I focus on that, rather than whether everything's going right, whether everybody's liking me, whether I feel comfortable, whether everything's just the way I like it, but I am accepted and I am loved, fruit grows. I just wanted to share my heart this morning because, you know, sometimes, I know it's probably not this case in this church because your pastors are very real and that's a blessing. But we face the same stuff you guys do. We have days, I think I might have shared this once. I've got these instrumental, really quiet, restful CDs. And this woman, unsaved woman, heard it once and she wanted to get it. And I don't know how, but she tracked down where I lived. And she knocked on the door. And I was just having one of those days. I was just having a bad day. And the kids were playing up and everything. And I seriously opened the door and went, what? And she's looking at me. And she goes, oh, this is a place I can buy some really peaceful, relaxing music. Talk about the conviction. And my smart aleck mouth just couldn't help but go, yeah, I just haven't listened to it for a while. Hang on, I'll go get you one. Even on those days, that's when I need to run to Him and be aware that His presence is available to me. I'm still the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm still accepted in the Beloved. Some of us make a decision, oh, well, I blew it today. I'll get it right tomorrow. It's like the, you know, oh, okay, we ate too much today. Tomorrow we diet. And we think that, but right now is the time we need to turn to the Lord and accept His glory and His grace and walk in His presence. And we make that habit. It's amazing how when we make that habit of when I stumble, I'll just get straight up and run into His arms. The stumbles get further apart. Because real fruit comes. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. The fruit grows on the branch. All it has to be is connected to the vine. And the devil's greatest tool is to convince you that you're disconnected from the vine. But the Word of God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He even promises, He has a covenant that says, as I swore with the waters of Noah, not to be angry with you. That in the midst of my weakness, I can boldly come to Him and receive of His strength. That's when I'm walking in the Spirit. Not when everything's just perfect and right. And can we just close our eyes just for a moment? I really believe the Lord is challenging me. And I'm sure if he's challenging me, he's challenging more than just me. To be a person that is more constantly aware of his presence in every situation, every moment of my life. I even faced it this week. Just found like the old anger rose up in a situation, and I just for a moment stopped and went, you know what? That's not me. I'm a child of the living God. And I just began to focus on that I'm created in his image, that he'd given me his grace and his peace. And you know what? It started to change. Condemnation will not change you at all. You might get short-term change. You know, I've seen churches where they preach hard and, yeah, people for a little while because they're scared change a little bit, but you default back to your heart settings. But when our heart setting is the acceptance of God, the presence of God, that we're people that can just walk constantly in his presence, that's what we'll gravitate towards when things get hard. Father, I just thank you for your presence here. I thank you that every person that's here is accepted in the beloved. Is the righteousness of God in Christ if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord. Has been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That all the promises of God are yes and amen to you. Now this might be a little unusual. I don't even feel to have any music now, but if you've been struggling like I just shared I was struggling, I just want you to come out. If you want prayer, you don't have to. I just want to make it available to you. If you want some prayer, just come down. Just let us pray for you. I just really believe the Lord is ministering to people. If no one wants prayer, that's fine. But if you want some prayer, just come in this presence. Whether in the midst of your storm, you can find the presence and the peace of God. In the midst of your weakness, and dare I even say your sin, you can find the peace and the presence of God. Just reach out to him. Let's see it all. Just reach out our hands to him. Father, I just thank you for your presence right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, your goodness. Jesus, your mercy. Jesus, your grace. And I just feel the Lord is challenging someone today. You've been waiting a little bit for everything to line up. And the Lord is saying, as you take that step, that's when things will start to line up. I could just, and it doesn't, don't be condemned that you feel it's a bit scary. I could just imagine when Peter stepped out, he's looking at water. This can't hold me. This is a fisherman. He knew this stuff. But as he stepped out, it's like it firmed under his feet. I remember when I did my first album, Cole Stringer. I was traveling with him and, you know, I just had this picture that someone was going to knock on my door with tens of thousands of dollars in a check and you know, basically I was just, just go and here's a recording studio and just go do it. And so I'm waiting for this to happen. And months and months and months and months go past, nothing's happening. And I'm having dinner with Cole one night. He says, hey, what's happening with your album? Oh, it's going to happen. And he just looked at me and said, well, if you don't do it, when is it going to happen? Now, I'm not talking about, yeah, there's times, there's timing in God. But I'd received already the timing in God. I'd had the Lord say, do it. But my mind was like, yeah, but to do it, this has to happen. But it was as I then stepped out, all the doors opened. Father, I just thank you for this great group of people. I just thank you, Father, that in Jesus' name, every one of us, Lord, as your word says, we'll go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. We'll be a people that aren't affected by the atmosphere around us, but we will be a people that can walk in a supernatural peace and presence and grace that changes the atmosphere that is around us. And I thank you for that, Father. And Father, I speak into the lives of those that have been held back because of the circumstances they're facing, that Father, I thank you in Jesus' name right now. Any fear preventing you from stepping out into the fullness of God's promises is now broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you that this week will be the start of stepping out into bigger areas and greater realms of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God. Well, I know there'll be some people who want prayer. I almost said prayer. So just stick around. If you do want prayer, Pete and Christy would love to pray for you. And a cup of tea out the back, that'd be great. And more tonight, 6:30. You'll be blessed. All righty. Love you guys. See you.